Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us to this emission of Radio Linguistica, which has the title VTS, Mission Impossible. Well, indeed, at the moment, as you all know, non-essential missions are impossible, so the VTS missions as well, and we don't know when they will be possible again. But nevertheless, we have launched a new VTS call. Deadline is the 26th of February. If you are interested, please look into the VTS pages on DGTNet. As in good old times, you can apply also for a standard VTS. But as I told already, we cannot predict at all when you will be able to carry out your mission. But once you are selected, of course, you will be able to do your mission, even if you have to wait half a year or even longer. We don't know this. But because of all this uncertainty in these COVID times, this call introduces a new formula, online VTS. What does this mean? Well, as for standard VTS mission, you will get some time where you are exempt from all other tasks. If necessary, online VTS projects may be organized in several sessions, what is, of course, impossible for standard missions. Why did we create this new formula? Certainly not to replace the standard VTS missions. However, when circumstances do not allow for traveling, as in the current situation, online VTS can be an option for some projects, for example, in the field of terminology. In future, they can also be an opportunity for candidates who, for family or other reasons, prefer not to go on a mission, but would like to broaden their horizon via the VTS nonetheless. This formula could also be a useful element for collaboration with universities, including from PAMSIT network. While online projects are not meant to fully replace physical VTS, they should be considered as a backup alternative during the planning stage. Such a project could also be the preparatory stage for a fully-fledged for VTS mission at a later time. So online activities help to bridge the time in which VTS missions are impossible and to prepare VTS missions to make them still more efficient. So this mission is targeting above all those of you who have been or want to apply right now for a standard VTS mission and would like to get ideas for bridging the time till missions are again possible, and those who would like to apply now for an online VTS, both as a separate project or as a preparation for a standard mission. Now I would like to welcome our guests today in our mission. It's Maria and Klaus from the Danish department. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, thank you.
Hi.
Both of you were selected for the last call, but could not go for the mission because of Corona. And now we would invite you to report how you have kept contact with your partners during this long waiting time. Please, Maria, tell us what you did, what is your whole project and how it went on.
Yes. I was supposed to have my first meeting with a school in Denmark on the 23rd of March last year, just the week before that we were sent home. But I've managed to stay in contact with all my contacts, though. I have had one online visit or online event with a university in Denmark, in Aarhus, and that went well. Despite some technical challenges, I was told that there would be 27 students participating, but on the day I had 42 motivated and very curious students. And I will, of course, stay in contact with the university. They want to have more events like this. And actually, later today, I will co-host a webinar in cooperation with the university. So that's what I call a success. I was also supposed to visit two high schools, two national television channels, and some private companies. I am still in contact with all of them, but I have had no online meetings with them. The high schools have a hard time keeping the attention of their students and think it would be a waste of my time if I cannot be there in person, so that's why we haven't had any meetings with them. And the television channels and private companies also prefer that I visit them in person when it's possible again. And it's not possible. I would have followed with one of the TV channels. I would have followed a translator to see how they work. And that's not possible online. But I actually believe that now that I've kept in contact with all my contacts, that when I will be able to go there someday, I will have even better visits, because now I know my contacts even better than I did in March last year. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Maria. I think Katrin has a question to you.
Now, absolutely, Maria. What projects did you have in mind with the university in particular that you have preparing or thinking about? I'm thinking, of course, of the Danish universities you've been in touch with. Do you have a special project in mind? I'm sort of curious to know what's being cooking.
Yes, with the university, it was actually a cooperation between. They wanted to have some. It was part of their career guidance. So they wanted someone from the EU or from outside the university to tell the students about a career path, how their students could use whatever they learn in the university to go out in the world and maybe have a career with the EU. And with the two high schools, it was actually, the thing is that it's difficult to attract Danes to the institutions and to DGT. And at the same time, not many young Danes want to study linguistics. And that is already a problem now and will even be a bigger problem in the future. So therefore, I wanted to visit two high schools for two reasons. I wanted to hear from the young people who have not yet decided what they want to study, what they think of maybe having a career with the Commission or the DGT. I wanted to hear their reasons for wanting, or maybe rather not wanting, to study linguistics and maybe pursue a career with the Commission and DGT in order for us to have something to work with afterwards. And second, I wanted to tell them about my career path, to show them what might come out of a linguistic background and maybe inspire them to study languages or linguistics and become my colleague someday.
Mm. Thank you very much, Maria. So, Klaus, how did you bridge the time since you have been selected candidate for VTS mission and you couldn't go?
Well, in fact, I was supposed to go in the second half, so in the autumn of last year. So there was still a slight chance that things would improve. So I was in contact with the places that I had planned to visit in Denmark, and we were still hoping to do it in November. As you know, it turned out to be impossible. So what I did instead was to have online meetings, so Skype meetings, for example, I should say that I'm a language technology coordinator. So my focus with this visit was language technology. And I then had a meeting with the Agency for Digitization in Denmark, because one of the things that I wanted to do was actually to promote e-translation, which, as you know, is our internally developed machine translation. And this is now something that is at the disposal for small and medium-sized enterprises all over the EU. So that's one message I wanted to bring forth. So I contacted the digitization agency to hear how they could help. That was one visit, well, one virtual visit, obviously. The other one was also at Aarhus University, but for the students of translation and communication. And I held a lecture for them online, of course, in Zoom, and also focusing on machine translation. As Maria had already been there, I didn't have to tell them a lot about career opportunities. So I focused simply on language technology, how we translate at the Commission, and talked about our e-translation, giving them some examples from our texts. Also what we should be aware of when we use it. So we moved into the discipline that, you know, is called post-editing of machine translation. And in fact, this is also where I think that DGT will get something in return. At least I hope that I hope to arrange a visit, probably also a virtual one, with the lecturers at the university, because they are a handful of experts on post-editing of machine translation in Denmark, and they are the ones to turn to. So I was also supposed to visit the Copenhagen University, but I did not manage to do it and put it off till later. But at Aarhus, I've been asked to sort of repeat the session that I had with the students the next time in the next term. So that's something I look forward to. And also, just to follow up on it, I actually gave the students at Aarhus a chance to translate a small press release using.
I'm afraid we have lost Klaus for a while. I hope.
Shall I?
Yes, please.
Shall we continue with Mariah,
yes,
who's
yes,
our
yes,
favorite yes. victim? Now, did you, because your colleague seemed to say there was no need to, but maybe you or I suppose, would have an opinion on the need to raise awareness among young people, possible future translators, on EU careers, certainly, but also the many jobs and tasks to be done as a translator or around translation, including a very good command of one's mother tongue. What's your opinion? I mean, a translator, as we know, is translated into his or her mother tongue and must have a very good command of that, and of course, very good command of a foreign language, one at least. What's your opinion on as you exchanged or made contact with high schools and universities, students and pupils, either of you?
Well, I think they were very interested in knowing or hearing more about a career with the EU and with DGT. Many of them didn't know that much at the beginning, and I told my personal story from when I was in high school until today. And I showed them some photos from when I had my first degree in the university, and They were very interested in hearing how they could maybe have a career path that looked a bit like mine, and many of them were in the university. Many of them were studying linguistics in somehow, so they were actually quite interested in hearing how they could become my colleague in the future. So they didn't know that much, but they were very interested in learning and knowing more about what we do.
Hmm.
Well, Klaus, we lost you, unfortunately, for some minutes, so we went to another question. But now, please, you continue.
Thanks a lot. So I was just about to mention, I think, some of the advantages, because obviously we can all see that we would rather go on a physical VTS to get the correct, the real contact, obviously. But I think there are advantages as well. I mean, imagining having to organize something, let's say a physical visit in just 5 days, where you have to visit five different places, maybe even not in the same city, but different places around the country. So I think this is where the virtual option, so to speak, came in very handy, because you don't have to do such a condensed visit. You can actually spread it over a longer period. And you can even make a series of lectures, for example, thematically connected, and get back to them that way. I don't know when the sound dropped out for me, but I was just saying that just to follow up with the lecture that I gave at the university, I offered them to do some translation, just a small press release, and to use machine translation doing it. So we focused on post-editing that machine translation part. And most of them were quite happy to have that opportunity.
Well, thank you very much. Very interesting point that you think if you do now online events, online lectures, it will be easier for you when you can go for the physical mission.
Yes, exactly. I think it can be a really good combination that way. Obviously, everybody knows that when you do something on Zoom, you can't see your audience. You can't see if they're actually following you, if they're even there. But still, as a combination, I think it's an additional option for us to use. Absolutely.
Yes,
and also a way of building relations for the future. As Klaus said, we can have more sessions, follow-ups, and things like that. So I think it's a good way to build relations for the future.
So if I understand right, you seem to say that, well, VTS missions sometimes can be pretty much a marathon, whereas the online format allows you to interact, prepare, and repeat in a way, and continue. And there is a dimension you can reproduce, I suppose, a presentation online, and you can provide feedback, follow-up sessions. I don't know how you are working on under these new circumstances. What are the advantages?
The advantages are, as I said, that it's fairly easy to repeat it, or to build on what you've already once told somebody, or to build on one contact or what you obtained there, to take it maybe a step further. I think at least that's and as I mentioned previously, I mean that you don't have the geographical restrictions where you need to travel from point A to B to Z and so on. So in that sense, it's actually easier to organize.
So perhaps you have some tips and tricks when somebody of your colleagues, of the selected candidates, would like to organize events with their partners?
Well, I can just say that networking is essential. I had a LinkedIn account. I still have a LinkedIn account that I didn't use that much, but I discovered that in my preparation for my VTS project, I couldn't have done it without my LinkedIn account. I found contacts from my past that were suddenly able to help me come up with an idea or maybe find a person that I could talk to, or I use LinkedIn for networking, and that was essential for me. I couldn't have done it without my LinkedIn account and my old contacts in LinkedIn.
Yes, I would certainly also echo that, what Maria just mentioned. And I also used LinkedIn and so the contact persons that I had, and including the ones that I didn't manage to do anything with. And this time around, I try to keep contact using social media instead. And including those students that followed my lecture and took the chance to make a translation, they also connected with me on LinkedIn. So that way they're able to follow what goes on at DGT. And maybe if they have an interest in language technology, I sometimes post about that as well. Go ahead.
Okay. Maria. I also talked to our field officer in Copenhagen before I prepared anything, just to hear, maybe get some ideas from him or just to hear what's been done before. So we also had a good conversation or going on before I actually planned anything. And he gave me some good ideas as well for what I could do or what we could get out of it, out of one of my visits for instance, with the university. So I had a good conversation with our field officer as well.
Well, that's the general advice we give to all our candidates, online or not, to contact before the field officer to see how the situation is, what he can advise, recommend, and so on. I would have another questions, perhaps some technical things you used, technical tricks or devices. Did you use PowerPoint or other devices to organize your lectures?
Yes, I used PowerPoint, showing, concentrating most of the time on examples from DGT that would sort of convey the message to the students. It's a good trick always to start out not having PowerPoints on, because they want to see your face. And then after a while, of course, you can start your presentation. But also I think in between, it's a good idea to stop it and to show your face, because it gets a bit more lively that way. And that, of course, you know, will be the challenge with something that's virtual, that you don't really have the same interaction as you do. If I can mention one more thing, I would say I asked the contact to moderate, to keep an eye on, in other words, on the questions that students would be asking during my presentation, because you can't do both at the same time. I mean, it's really difficult. And finally, if I can say one thing, always test a day in advance to see if the connection really works. If it's a Zoom meeting, if it really works the way you expect it to.
Yes, I agree, because I had some technical problems and I had to send everything to my contact at the university in advance. And luckily she was able to, I had some small videos that I could not show, but she was able to show the videos for me. So that was definitely a good idea that we had tried it before and found out that it didn't work when I tried to show them, so she could do it for me. But also, as Klaus said, to have someone else keep an eye on the chat or questions, because it's difficult to do both, or nearly impossible to do both.
Mm. Well, that's perhaps advice we can give to everybody who prepares online sessions, to send all your materials, your questions, your PowerPoint, what you want to say to one of your partners who could manage it if at any moment there's a technical problem. They can't see your PowerPoint, then they can run the version they have got before. I think that's a very good advice to give to everybody.
So you need technical support, or at least support in any case, because
yes.
Yes. Two hands is not enough with these things, in a way.
No.
So preparation, follow-up possibly, and a good collaboration with the target people.
Exactly.
Yeah. I would suppose that universities are now quite well prepared, because they had to give many lectures online. I don't know how the situation in Denmark was, but I suppose not everything could be made on presence for some time.
Exactly. It had more or less been the default option of teaching, doing it on Zoom. I think when I did mine, they were still allowed to gather very small groups of students at the university premises. But other than that, real lectures, of course, had been replaced by Zoom meetings. So, yes, the students were absolutely used to it. That's it.
I was supposed to go in March, just after the lockdown, and at that time they were not used to everything being on Zoom. But I postponed the visit because I also thought that I maybe would be able to go in May and then maybe in September, and then we decided, okay, now we do it in virtually instead. And at that time, of course, they were used to everything on Zoom, so it was the same case.
Now, I remember one of you saying, or perhaps read about it, you organized practical exercises, for example, ask the students to do translation. I mean, how do you manage that online? How do you organize that? I know that on the spot you can do it in a very informal way without much preparation, in theory, but how do you manage that under the present circumstances?
For my case, it was something they did afterwards. So I told them I would give them that chance during the presentation, and then they simply sent their translations by email to me, and I had a look at them and gave them some feedback, and that was how it worked.
And I had some multiple choice exercises where they put A, B, C, D in the chat. And then afterwards, I gave them the explanation why it would be, for instance, A. So it was not a real translation, but it was more small parts of a translation where they were supposed to tell me which one was correct from a translation.
Well, I would suppose that also experienced lecturers, the university can give you some tips how to organize such an online event. Virtuoses on Zoom or so, they can organize this breakout sessions for group work or something like this. At the moment, but they perhaps they can. I think they can give if you're well preparing you the online event, but they can give some advice.
Yeah, I think they can. For my case, they didn't do it because I just had one presentation of my career path and my story from high school to now. So we didn't need breakout rooms, but I think they must be able to have these breakout rooms as well.
Well. Impressive.
Yeah. Well, I think we are nearly at the end of our mission.
I had a small other question.
Oh, yes.
Just,
yes, please.
To our colleagues, do you think or have you seen potential future translators for the
I can certainly say yes, but obviously there were still students. I think they would be bachelors very soon, but still. I must say they had, let's say, I don't know how many, perhaps five or six asked and were really interested. And I must see from what I saw from the translations they had been doing, that's somebody that I would certainly like to have as a future colleague. Whether they pursue that path, of course, we don't know. But at least we've told them about what to do if they really want to go and pursue a career as a translator.
So you're a bridge.
So absolutely, yes.
And Mariah, the same?
Yeah, I also saw many interesting students. As I said, I was supposed to have 27 for my event, but I have 42 on the day. And they were all very curious and asking lots of questions. And so I think they all had a linguistic background somehow. So I hope that they will maybe become my colleague one day.
Well. Well, thank you very much for this interesting presentations. I hope that many of your colleagues will become inspired to do so as well. So I think if somebody is thinking about that, they can also contact you for special personal advice. And of course, they can contact us for the whole for the call and the whole selection and so on. So please look at DGTNet and consider organizing now VTS online, perhaps as a single event or as preparation for a VTS mission later on. We all hope that we can come back to normality very soon. Well, thank you very much for coming, for joining us, and please apply for VTS.